Hello there and welcome. Welcome to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of this is a ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is our hand car washing business that myself and my wife run and own and operate here in Churchill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. There we have opened up this business as a ministry, and that's why we call it the Wash and Word. The Wash part of the title is what we do to earn our money to support our family and also to support this ministry. We never ask for tithes or charities or donations. We simply request that if you want to support this ministry, to come by and let us work hard to earn our money. Just as Paul spent a lot of his missionary journeys earning his own keep by continuing to build and make tents, we want to take God's word. And we don't want to peddle it. We want to settle it. And that is what we do. That's the ministry, the word part of the Wash and Word. It's these teachings. You can find them here on this radio station at 8:30 Monday through Friday. Or you can find them archived on our website at washandword.com. And also you can come by the Wash and Word in the parking lot. We have a transmitter that transmits these this week's sermons and Bible teachings. We play them on a loop. Just turn your FM dial to 107.1, and there you can hear these messages while you're sitting in your car waiting to get your car washed, or even if you're just in the parking lot. As long as you're near the Wash and Word building, you can hear them. Now, getting back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we are currently in the Gospel of John in chapter 9. We're in the middle of talking about this blind man who was healed, and Pharisees are trying to find more reasons to accuse Jesus. And you know, we ended talking about the simplicity of the gospel. And in our last teaching, we talked about how Jesus oftentimes spoke as if he were speaking to children, you know, and God's word was never meant to be confusing. It was never meant to be hidden. In fact, if anything, it's the learned and the religious, those who have stuck to their own ability to keep the law, as it were, like these Pharisees or those people who think that because they've been through 8 years of seminary and college degrees and they have their PhDs and their MDMs and their AT&Ts or you know, whatever it is, these are the people that actually the word is hidden from. It's those folks who bring themselves down to a level of simple humility that the word begins to speak to and through. And we do this by trusting in the Holy Spirit. By resting in the Spirit, we can understand God's word, and it's not a mystery. You know, I trust that the Holy Spirit brings forth these teachings every time I open my mouth. And I do this because I know that there's nothing I could say that could take God's word and make it alive in a person who might be listening. I trust fully that the Holy Spirit will take these same verses that through me, God will transfer them in a way that presents them to the hearer, and so that they will be changed and moved and challenged, and in turn, God will get the glory. It is a simple gospel message that we tend to complicate over and over again. And in our section of scripture here, these learned scholars, well, they got schooled by a sarcastic heathen who had been blind for years and only saved for about an hour. And we read this in our last teaching, where the man said, "I've told you already and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" And the man answered, "This is remarkable. You don't even know where he comes from. And he opened my eyes." And he's being sarcastic with these learned scholars, this man who's been saved about an hour. And it just goes to show that in the Holy Spirit is all the power you need to understand the gospel and to preach the gospel. It isn't about getting years and years and years of education before you go forward. It's about adhering to the Holy Spirit in your life, about getting quiet before God and in His Word and letting His Word filter through you. And then God will take the natural abilities that He's given you as a human being, as a fleshly person. He'll take those natural abilities. He'll take your natural personality. He'll take the things that He made you as a human. He will infuse them with the Spirit that He has given you. And together, those two things combined, if you will just let the Spirit lead you, you can be very, very effective for witnessing for the gospel and for Jesus. And this man, you know, before we start accusing him of being disrespectful, there was truth in the sarcasm that he was delivering to these learned scholars, these Pharisees. And it was a simple truth. And what appeared as sarcasm, because he was answering a deep theological question with second grade answers. And the problem they had with that is that he was right. You know, he's answering these deep theological questions with such simplistic answers, and he was correct. I was blind, and now I see. But that's about as simple as it gets, folks. And many people have a problem with qualifications, especially as it pertains to leaders, teachers, and pastors. You know, they expect every pastor to have a doctorate in philosophy and, in religion or theology and that sort of thing. They expect every preacher to have 8 years of schooling and 27 years of biblical seminary. And listen, there's nothing wrong with teaching and learning. There's nothing wrong with increasing your knowledge of the Word and learning the Greek and learning the Aramaic. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with building up that sort of education. But when that becomes our laurels, when that's what we rest on, when that's what we see ourselves as being qualified, then we've missed the mark. And to miss the mark is the word sin. You know, I was when I became a pastor, it was in the Calvary Chapel movement. And Calvary Chapels, if you're not familiar with them, there's thousands of them around the world. It's not a denomination. It's a non-denominational church, but they adhere to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of God's Word. And the funny thing about a lot of Calvary Chapel pastors is they didn't come out of seminary and great theological schools to go on and become pastors. Many of them were former drug addicts and felons and adulterers and things of that nature. And why? Because, well, when God gets a hold of you, doesn't matter what you know. You see, man cannot teach that which God can give in spirit. You cannot learn in a classroom, no matter how many years you spend, things that God can teach you in a second through the Holy Spirit. And so the idea of getting further education is not a bad thing unless we're using that to rely upon as our only qualifications. You, my friend, who is listening, who has accepted Christ as their Savior, you have all the qualifications to be a minister, to be an evangelist, to be a healer, to be a Bible expositor. You have all of that in you. Why? Because none of those things are done outside of the Holy Spirit. And if Christ is your Savior, that Spirit dwells. That same Spirit that Jesus used to create miracles and healings dwells within you. And it is difficult for those people who have all their lives studied and trained and worked hard to achieve their clergy status, as these Pharisees have done. They have devoted their whole lives to learning the law. And then to watch some blind man rise up and school them, that's got to be a blow to the ego, huh? But with that said, the Bible does say in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so to balance this teaching of today so far, I want you to know that we are, by God's own admission here in 2 Timothy, we are encouraged and almost you would say, commanded to study the scriptures, to rightly divide them. In order to do that, you have to know them. So there is a place for deep theological study, and there is a place for the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And combined, they make the most effective witness for Christ. But you can't be leaning towards one side or the other. And that's the whole idea of the Calvary Chapel movement. That's the whole idea of verse-by-verse teaching. It causes us to strike a balance between leaning too far over here on the adherence to the letter of the law, or swinging to the other side of the pendulum and leaning too far upon reliance of the Holy Spirit and having no knowledge of the Word, but simply moving through emotion. So we strike that dividing line. That's how you rightly divide the truth of God. And if you're a person who was called out of the gutter to go on to become a minister, that is not an excuse for you not to know God's Word. We still have the calling and to study His Word, to do the things that we have to do and let the Spirit meet us in the middle. And so these Pharisees, at least in one respect, they didn't act childlike. Well, that's not true, because even when they were backed into a corner, they insulted him, and then they threw him out. This is their reply to the man's sarcasm. They said in verse 34, "To this they replied, 'You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out." Listen, that is a great scripture application. Let me tell you something. If you are ever thrown out of a place of religion or spirituality for speaking the truth, don't try to go back in there. In fact, run the other way. I'll tell you a quick story. The other day, my wife and my son and I were hiking in the Smoky Mountains down in Gatlinburg, and we were walking down this trail, and my son's leading us, and all of a sudden he turns around sharply and he just says one word. He says, "Bear." And I'm telling you, folks, literally 15 feet in front of us was the largest single black bear I've ever seen in my life, whether it be on TV or anywhere or a picture. I mean, it was huge, and it was right there in front of us. And I thought about, I mean, we were scared to death, but I thought about that scripture. You know, it's, the Bible says that we shouldn't come between a mother bear and her cubs. In fact, it is one of the most dangerous places on earth to be. And thankfully, this bear, I don't think, was a mother, because there were no cubs. I think this was just a large male lone black bear. As scary as it was, it just kept going, thanking God for that. But the funny thing is, God equates the most dangerous place on earth, and that is to be caught between a mother bear and her cubs, He equates that with being in the company of fools. Proverbs 17:12 says, "Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than to meet a fool in his folly." Isn't that something? God says that it is better to be in the most dangerous place on earth, that is between a mother and her cubs, than it is to stay amongst a fool in their folly. And if you ever get kicked out for adhering to truth or speaking the truth or ever persecuted for that, don't fret that. Don't regret that. Embrace that. And one of my main goals in doing this verse-by-verse Bible teaching is to simplify the Word. Let me say it again. There is nothing in God's Word that requires a doctorate or a master's degree to understand. All it requires is childlike faith. And I know that when I speak verse-by-verse Bible teaching and simplify God's Word the way it was meant to be, I know it changes lives. I pastored that church for 5 years, and I watched people come in there completely off-balanced. And after months and even years of sitting under God's Word, letting God's Word do the work, all I did was speak it in the Spirit and truth. But I watched God's Word change people. And friends, if we're not getting the entire counsel of God's Word, I submit to you, we are not changing. And that is one of the problems we have today. Let us as churches, as pastors, get back to teaching and preaching all of God's Word. Can we do that? Can we make our voice strong again? I sure hope so. And that is my goal in this ministry, And I pray these words are going forward and blessing your life as they come out of my mouth into your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.